Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Dirt and Sprague.
Mendoza in the backfield, back to throw. Pressure comes again, throws it to the end zone, and a catch is made. Is it a touchdown? Touchdown! Unbelievable! Omar Cooper with a grab, and he put his foot down. It's a score for Indiana.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Dante waits for the snap, got it, back to throw. Wants to go deep down the right-hand side. It is caught. Benson inside the 30. Is it a grab? It is. First down at the 27-yard line of Iowa. Ferguson Reynolds says snap it. Does. Places it. Kick is on the way up. It's long enough. It looks. Score! Atticus Sampson has given Oregon the lead. And the Ducks are 3 seconds away from escaping Iowa with a hard 5-4 victory here tonight.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on a Monday, the 10th of November. Welcome back in. Good morning. Happy Monday out there. Hope your drive in is going well, going smooth. You're not stuck in traffic everywhere, or you're just waking up with your sunrise guy.
Hello, good morning, everybody.
Dirt and Sprague here, hour number two on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. You can reach the fan at 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. Any and all texts are welcome at the fan text line. And you can catch us on YouTube, youtube.com/1080am The Fan or 105.1 The Fan. Both would work in your URLs. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Unfortunately, we have to bring up the fact that Oregon State had the second most embarrassing loss since I've started following Oregon State football. Second.
Not first. Number two. That's number two?
It's definitely number two.
Okay.
But it's pretty bad.
We'll power rank them. Your Mount Rushmore of all-time bad losses.
I thought about it. In the last 25 years, let's do that. The last 25 years, I think that's the second worst loss in their program.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I also have confusion in college football and the audio of a podcaster who's had just about enough.
Just he's done. He's tired.
He's beyond fed up.
Okay.
And he let everybody in the world know it.
We had a Gusgasm this weekend.
We had multiple Gusgasms in that game. We had a Joelgasm.
We did. How do you not gasm when you see that play? That was a gasm play.
Remember Stacey King clip we played last week?
I do.
Elizabeth, I'm coming! I think Joe Klatt literally did.
Yeah.
Because that catch.
I think I did it home too when I watched it. I'm like, oh my God. It's one of those, man.
That's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my life. And then you give everything that's kind of on the line
No way he caught that. Oh my God, he caught that.
Did he know his toe wasn't going to touch? So he lifted his toe off of, like, from touching the ground and then got his other toe. It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We'll get to that. But Oregon goes to Iowa.
Yes, they do.
And they win a bit of an ugly Big Ten game. We talked about that all week. Was it going to be ugly? Would they blow out Iowa? Would Iowa pull the upset? And it was kind of a combination except the blowout part. Oregon won 18-16, a field goal by Atticus Sappington, who came up pretty clutch in this game. So Oregon State saving the day for Oregon again. How about that?
I'm very appreciative. Thank you.
You hated the kid. You wanted him subbed out. You didn't want him kicking field goals.
No.
And then he was perfect on the day. He was unbelievable.
I take back all the bad things I ever said. I apologize.
I think Dan Lanning did as well. And he hits the go-ahead field goal with just a few seconds left. Iowa has no time to do anything. The clock ends on the kickoff. And they win at Iowa 18-16. They extend the nation's longest active road winning streak now to 11 games. And how about some fun Dan Lanning stats for
you?
You
got some good Dan Lanning stats for me?
40 straight wins and 31-0 under Dan Lanning. When? Oregon scores first.
Oh.
So the key to Oregon and Lanning winning is we score first, we win the football game because they're 31-0.
That's a nice little stat.
They're also 38-1 under Dan Lanning when leading at halftime.
That's pretty remarkable.
And they improved to 14-1 all time in Big Ten play, and they're 8-0 on the road since joining the Big Ten.
Hey, it's really hard to go east, though, and win games. That's what people keep telling me, man. A lot of teams having a hard time going east and winning games.
I want you to give me your thoughts on it. Was this an all fours on the ground game? Or
it was, yeah. I mean, there was a lot on the line here. It was one of the more impressive wins under Lanning, I will say. He's got a marquee win in a Big Ten title game. He beat Ohio State last year. You know, at the time, the Penn State wideout win seemed massive, and now I know some of the shine has come off of that. I think it's considering how it looked and what they had going into the game makes it one of the most impressive wins that he's ever had. Like, we knew that Iowa could win the game one way and one way only. And how did the game play out? The one way that Iowa could win the game. Iowa played the exact game that they wanted to play. If I told you on Friday that Oregon is going to be without their top two weapons on offense, which, hey, nice little news bomb. I'm getting texts from people on Friday night like, why are people bothering me on Friday night? Are you reading the message boards? Like, no, I don't want to read message boards right now. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. We'll see
what
they say.
Was that on message boards Friday?
Oh, it was Friday night. Okay. Duck Twitter blew up on Friday night at like 11 o'clock at night.
Sauces.
I got texts coming from all over the place. I'm like, guys, I don't know. I sent Dusty a text. He did not respond, rightfully so. So he's not giving me any scoop. I'm waiting for scoop. We don't know what's going to happen.
The brand man wouldn't even tell you and say, keep it off the record.
He's guard. I think he probably
How dare he?
I would be willing to guess. We'll have this fun game with him. I will say over under 25 and a half texts he got asking about Kenyon Sadiq and DeCorian
Moore.
I'll take the over on that, and those are a lot to respond to. So in his benefit, I will give him the grace there. But if you tell me on Friday, hey, we're wrapping up the show, final thoughts on Oregon and Iowa. DeCorian Moore is not going to play. Kenyon Sadiq's not going to play, and your starting right tackle is going to be out. The weather's going to be awful the entire game. So the one main advantage that you had over Iowa was your ability to throw the football. That's now nullified, one, because of injuries, and two, because of the elements. The final score of the game is going to be 18-16, and Iowa's going to have more passing yards than you. How do you think the game's going to go?
If you just told me the passing yards thing and the score, I would probably lean, I think, Iowa is the winner in that.
Because it's an Iowa game, and that's the kind of game Iowa needed to win. They needed it to be ugly. They needed it to be below. They need the under to hit. They need sub 20 points.
It made no sense.
And that's how they win the game. And ironically, Oregon ended up beating Iowa at their own game. They outrushed them. They controlled the line of scrimmage throughout. They were significantly better on special teams. I know Iowa hit the one long field goal, but a safety ended up being the scoring difference in this game. Oregon was 3-for-3 on field goals, made a long one, and then obviously the game-winning kick. Like, they went into Iowa shorthanded and banged up with their season on the line and found a way to win the game the way that Iowa wanted to dictate the game. And for those reasons, considering how shorthanded they were, it's one of the most impressive wins I've seen under Lanning.
Yeah, there was certainly some stuff that needs to be recognized. Zero punt returns allowed. They already entered the game with the best punt return coverage in the nation at -1 yard. What's that kid's name?
Caden Wiegen.
Wiegen.
He's one of the best punt returners in the country, and he was a complete non-factor, and he fumbled. Brandon Finney forced a fumble, which was a massive swing in the game as well.
I mean, it's not to me, like, if you would have said, Sprague, will that Wiegen kid have a return? I'd say not a chance Lanning lets that kid have even one look. And then they did. They did an exceptional job of that. You mentioned Finney, right? Being shorthanded, you need guys to step up. Finney had two forced fumbles, and he had four tackles, including three and a tackle for loss. I thought Lanning in the postgame made a great point, like, and this is more for a Duck fan than I think anybody else. If Oregon is to trip up again in the regular season, and we'll see how the playoffs go if they can get to that point.
They dropped a spot in the AP poll for winning that game.
Did they really?
Ole Miss beat the Citadel and jumped them in the AP poll.
Yeah. For winning 41-9-0 against the Citadel?
Because the AP voters are reacting
the AP
to the...
Voters that game reacted. Was in prime time for the AP.
The AP voters reacted to the CFP, and Ole Miss was ranked ahead of Oregon in the CFP. So they, None of them watch football, and it's irrelevant. But I digress.
Yeah, that poll is irrelevant. No longer, if they lose to fill in the blank to Washington, the youth thing is dead. It is RIP. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see a text. I don't want to hear from Duck fans in my life. I don't want to hear from anybody. Lanning's just said, we're done with that. They've played enough football. They're not just young guys anymore. They've all played. Finney was awesome in that game. Tuioti, awesome in that game. Sans the spying quarterback play where I thought it was fairly obvious that Cat was going to run it in because he sucks at throwing, but they had the one long pass. I think I look at Oregon now, and it's, to me, not the best win in the Lanning era, and I know Iowa fan joking about that being Oregon's Super Bowl. To me, my takeaway, and I probably already had this because of the Wisconsin game, but now you go on the road against a ranked opponent, and you end up getting stuck in the game they want you to play.
They dragged you into the mud.
Iowa is not Ohio State. They're not Georgia. They're not Bama. So I understand there's going to be some caveats to what I'm about to say. I think, if anything, the big takeaway for me is you are finally built in a way that there's not a style of play that should scare the living hell out of you anymore.
No.
You can be explosive offensively when healthy, obviously. You can play in the weather elements. You can play big boy, bruise it up, Midwestern style, fat boy football. There's not a style of play anymore. Like, even in the Kelly era, which was wildly successful and helped launch that brand even higher, unfortunately, you came up just a little short against Auburn in the biggest moment. You had the LSU game. Like, you had Ohio State did this post-Kelly, right, with Helfrich. You had these games that just like, damn, they're beating us in these areas. And Mario, I thought, took a step in addressing that area, and then Lanning came in and really upped it. So my big takeaway is, if you weren't already there, you watched Oregon just say, there's not a style we're worried about anymore. We're a Big Ten team now. We can play like a Big Ten team when we need to. And that was kind of my overall point all week was, if the weather was to play a factor, if you were going to get stuck in an Iowa football game, you know, it took a while. It took some things to happen. I wasn't worried because I think Oregon has... There is no longer a style anymore for this program that they're pigeonholed to. They can do it any kind of way.
I'm just, the one thing I hope to stop seeing, although I don't know if it ever will, is this idea. Like, I saw some of the reporting after the game was, Oregon proves that they have the ability to go toe-to-toe with the line of scrimmage with Big Ten teams. Like, how long are we going to do this for?
Well,
like,
it's got to be dead now.
This is not 2007 Oregon anymore. I even heard Nick Saban last week, one of the smartest people around college football. You know, Oregon likes to use their skill position players and get out and use tempo. And when they struggle is when they get beat at the line of scrimmage. And it's like, what year is it? Have we not watched this team? Did we not watch them go 13-0 and do this to Ohio State and Penn State one in the regular season, one in the Big Ten title game?
Yeah.
Like, they're very good at the line of scrimmage, man. Like, this idea that they can't hang. The one thing that I was not going to let the Indiana game do, Oregon had a bad game against Indiana. They just, I don't know if they were
Indiana
high on their own
really
supply.
Well,
Indiana
yes.
played a great game. They were feeling good coming off the Penn State win. They didn't play their best game. That happens. It's a long season, and you get 12 different versions of each team.
Right.
But the one thing that I knew they were going to take personally in that game was how they got beat at the line of scrimmage. Indiana was the more physical team on defense, and they were the more physical team at the point of attack on the offensive line. And that was the one thing that everybody kept going to last week that I just wasn't that fearful of. Like, Oregon has shown, just with their size and their strength, they have a good offensive line. They have a good defensive line. And if you're going to win that game against Iowa this weekend, that is the one thing that you have to be able to do. They ran the ball for 261 yards on Iowa.
Unbelievable.
261 yards. They averaged 7.3 yards per carry. Iowa, the entire game, had one run longer than 10 yards.
Yeah.
The entire game, their top running back, Moulton, had a 16-yard run. He averaged 3.8 yards per carry. Your top backs, Noah Whittington, 6.9.
Yep.
Jordan Davison, 6.5. And De'Aaron Hill, 6.4. Like, they took that personally, and they made it a point of emphasis to say, we are not going to allow that to happen. Again, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win the game, but this fear of Oregon at the line of scrimmage, I don't know where it comes from and why it still exists, but it should not anymore. You're big, strong, and physical. The other thing that I will say, and this is the biggest difference now from where Oregon is at, from where they used to be, and this is the one thing that I would love to spread this message to Duck fans, because I can't even begin to tell you how many texts I had on Saturday morning of just the despair of the injury news, right? You find out DeCorian Moore, Kenyon Sadiq, and your starting right tackle aren't playing, and it's like the sky is falling, the world's going to end. We have to get over that mindset as a fan base. You have now recruited and developed to be able to have guys that can step in. Now, for an entire season, I don't know. If you have to play those guys the rest of the way, I don't know.
Right.
But for any given Saturday, we literally did this last year for Ohio State. You remember the news? Jordan Birch got hurt that week in practice. Mm-hmm. Your best defensive lineman going into your biggest game of the year. And everybody thought, oh, God, here we go again. Your top defensive lineman's out. What happened? Oregon won the game. Like, we got to stop doing this to ourselves. Lanning prides himself on the number of guys that can play above-the-line football.
Next man up mentality,
He loves playing in every situation he gets, as many guys as possible. I'll go all the way back to the opening game of the season, and we reacted to the Montana State win. And I remember saying, man, that was kind of interesting that Cooper Perry was making catches in the two-minute drill at the end of the first half. He's a true freshman wide receiver. Skinny little white kid, but he had a good fall camp. Who made a catch over the middle in traffic in a two-minute drill as the clock is winding down with your season on the line? Cooper Perry did. Like, they have recruited to the point where a couple of injuries are not going to derail you on any given Saturday. Again, if you have to go into the college football playoff without Kenyon Sadiq, DeCorian Moore, and your starting right tackle, I don't know how far you're going to be able to go. But it was a testament to the depth in the recruiting that they have built that one or two injuries are not going to derail you on any given Saturday the way that it used to for this program.
We'll hear from Dan Lanning as we roll on here in the second hour. More on the Oregon win at Iowa. You're welcome to share your thoughts of Oregon's crucial clutch win there, 18-16, at 503-864-6326. We roll on hour number two, more Oregon-Iowa talk from Dan Lanning Audio, next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We're talking Oregon's win at Iowa City. Ducks are 24-0 under Lanning when allowing less than 300 total yards.
It's really good, man. Really good.
And we knew Iowa's offense was going to be a little bit of a struggle bus there. Yep. The weather plays a big part, but also it's Iowa. If you were to take away that broken coverage of pass coverage by Oregon late when Gronowski threw that 40-yard bomb.
On third and eight or whatever it was on his own 5-yard line.
100-yard performance. Like, it wasn't like that cat was lighting you up.
And to be fair to the safeties, I think they probably just thought, he can't make that throw. This is 40 yards down the field. It's windy. It's raining. He can't make that. And then he made that throw to his credit.
Yeah. They battled the elements. Look, I hear what you're saying. I I've been with you on this, I'd say even going into the year. But I do think wins like that, as old as it might be a stereotype, I do think they matter. It could still be ridiculous to call out and say, why is Nick Saban saying we like to play flashy skill position player football when we clearly have 4- and 5-star guys on both sides of lines? But you mentioned the Ohio State game, right, that they won last year in regular season. That was a fairly high-scoring affair.
Yeah, 32-31, I think, was
the final. So I think people that don't watch every second or don't follow recruiting, like, oh, they got Ohio State in a track meet. They got them into their game. When you win these ugly, bruising games, as dated as it may be, I think it builds more and more like, oh, they won the 18-16 Iowa game. And it's stupid. Iowa's okay. They're fine, right? They're a top 25 program at best. But you win that game in that fashion with those injuries, and it wakes people up more and more to the program I think Oregon has been the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Into maybe making it more the realistic viewpoint of how they should view Oregon, whereas I still think Chip Kelly is still in the back of most people's minds.
I think it's still 2007 for a lot of people, and it's just, it's funny to me. I don't know how much more of these we need to see and how many more, like, what is it going to take? I'm not quite sure, but here we were again, another weekend of, look at that, Oregon showing they can hang at the line of scrimmage. I did roll my eyes a little bit at the, like, rite of passage, and now Oregon's officially a member of the Big Ten. Like, we went undefeated last year and beat Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. Michigan State all in the same season, became the first team in like 20 years in the Big Ten to do that.
It's November 10th.
And won the conference. Like, yeah. What are we doing? A rite of passage now. We're a Big Ten member. We won the damn conference last year. Okay? Like, part of me just kind of hates this entire thing. Like, I have no conference pride with the Big Ten. I'm not rooting for anybody else in this conference. And I just kind of like, just sit down and shut up, Big Ten. Like, you're just so much better than everybody else. We didn't need a rite of passage to win at Iowa. Winning the conference and going undefeated, should have done it last year in the first year. And we've only lost one conference game since joining the Big Ten. The other part of it that was massive, and I we talked about him a ton last week, and we circled him and said he's got to have a good game in order for Oregon to win. And ironically, he had not done hardly anything for the vast majority of the game. It's one long play that he had. He ran out of bounds, and that's Dante Moore, right? He had a breakaway chance, and I think his check engine light came on, and he was like, all right, I'm ducking out of bounds here. And Oregon ended up having to settle for a field goal on that drive, and that's a whole other can of worms we can get to of how close they were to really separating in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for all the talk about the Indiana loss, and I keep hearing, you know, Oregon got manhandled, and Oregon played bad, like, that was a 20-20 game with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Indiana scored a touchdown. It was 27-20, and Oregon had the ball with a chance to go tie the game at home with about 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And what happened on the second play of the drive? There was a deflected ball at the line of scrimmage. It got tipped up. Indiana picked it off. They went on to win the game because of that. He had a chance to tie a game and lead a game-winning drive, and it didn't work out for him. Well, here you are on the road without your starting right tackle and with essentially nobody left to throw the football to, with a minute and 51 to go and driving rain and wind. And when did he play his best football? When it was needed the
most.
That
throw to Benson
is one of the most impressive throws
so perfect
I have ever seen. In those elements, in those conditions, to throw it with 20 seconds to go at midfield, you're still a decent amount of ways from field goal range.
Also lost Brian in that game, too.
Yes.
He left with an injury.
After his one big play on the second drive of the game, and he did not return. And so the one guy that you could say, well, at least he's got some experience, and he made a nice play early on a play-action pass. Mm-hmm. It's Malik Benson and really nobody. Now you're throwing to Cooper Perry, and McClellan had a big drop the drive
saw
before
Lowe
that.
Again for the first time
this
year.
Hey, look at that. Where's he been at? Justice Lowe, nice to see you. And I just, for him to make those throws in that moment, it was a massive thing for his confidence.
It's a big confidence booster.
Just to know that I've been in this spot. I found a way to do it. The last time I got this chance, I threw a pick. It wasn't necessarily his fault, but it's padded up and you lose the game because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really impressive to see him come through when they needed him the most.
We'll play Dan Lanning. I largely agree with everything you're saying. It's a big confidence booster for him. And two, like up until that point, up until that drive, it wasn't like he really had done much. He had that interception kind of early in the first half where he overthrew and they read it perfectly, and you're like, hey, that's not a good ball.
I also wonder how much of that, too, has to do with, like, that was thrown to Cooper Perry, who, again, is a true freshman. And is that supposed to be Kenyon Sadiq's spot in the offense? And do you throw that ball, and does Kenyon Sadiq run a better route and make a play? Like, I'm being fair to Dante in that situation,
yeah,
too.
But I think it was a game that after that interception went, well, he's not throwing the ball for a while. They're going to run the football here and play that kind of style of football. We knew where the game was going to go after that.
I think they did that after the opening drive, too, starting 0 for 3 and punting, like, uh-oh.
Well, but to still have the drive where you got to go the full length of the field with the game on the line and, you know, where's your season going to go if you lose this game? I thought that was a huge confidence boost. Here's Dan Lanning on the field with Jenny Dell on CBS in the postgame.
That looked like an old school Big Ten game today, didn't it? And I tell you what, our resilience, right, next guy up, the guy stepping up, unbelievable team we just competed with. They had no quit. Our team had no quit. It's kind of like who had it last is going to have a chance. We had a chance tonight.
What were you telling them in those final 2 minutes?
Oh, man, just breathe. Just breathe. Let's all soak it. Deep breath. In, out, right, let's reset and go make the next play. Some unbelievable plays by our guys.
How proud are you of this group?
No, I can't put it into words, man. I love coaching this group, man. It's not supposed to be easy, right? This is what football is about. It teaches you adversity. This is what life's like, man. And our guys got to experience that tonight.
He also said in the post game, he was asked again, and you know, you come down from the high of the game and you kind of start thinking more and more, and he was asked in the post game, how are you feeling when your team's on this drive to win the game? He goes, I'll be honest with you, I was pretty nervous. Like, I think he's finally, like, usually he's a pretty, he conveys confidence, right? And I think he really wants to trust his guys, but that was a weird game. It was ugly. Some of it didn't make sense. They're a little shorthanded. For him to just say outright, like, I was nervous, I'll be honest with you, I was really nervous. Now, where we go with the injuries, sounds like Sadiq is fine. They just wanted to rest him. He got banged up in the Rutgers game.
He desperately wanted to play is what they said, and they held him out.
Yeah, he got dressed, and they basically said, nah, you're not going to play. He says Moore is fine. He tweaked his ankle in a non-contact in the practice. Sounds like that happened midway last week. We obviously are not going to find that information out.
I'd be pretty surprised on a short week if he played against Minnesota based on not playing in this game. He was not one of the guys that went through warm-ups and all that stuff. So I'd imagine you're probably out again on Friday night.
I would argue you could leave all of them out, and you should handle your business, Minnesota. I know Minnesota's coming off the bye. I get it. You don't want to disrespect an opponent. Minnesota's having an okay season for Minnesota. You should be able to beat Minnesota at home, even on a short week, and them off a bye. So we'll see if Moore plays, but I tend to agree with you. Harkey was another addition. He got scratched out of that game. They didn't play. They lost a couple guys to injury during the game. And so it was kind of a next man up mentality, but they handled the business. They won the game on the road. And now you got Minnesota on a short week who's coming off a bye because, of course, you're the new Big Ten team who gets no schedule breaks.
Yes.
And then you got your USC game, which is massive if USC doesn't trip over themselves.
They get Iowa this weekend at home.
I know. And that's not going to be an easy game. So if they can handle their business at home, it sets up what seems like would be the primetime NBC game.
You would tend to think, yeah.
And maybe a Josh Pate appearance here in Eugene, Oregon of USC at Oregon in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to unpack from the game from my angle. I just what it meant for them to stay alive, to find a way to win it, how ugly it was. The other side of it to me, too, was how frustratingly close you were to separating, and how it was eerily similar to the Penn State game in that regard for me, where I think if you're watching and just, you know, an unbiased observer of the game, the vast majority of it, you would say Oregon's the better team. They're moving the ball more consistently. They have more total yards. Like, they just look more competent. They're playing a better game. But they couldn't separate, they were so close. Like, I'll go to two plays that they were this close to separating, and we're here having a different conversation about how Oregon won the game by two scores. Dave Iuli stepping on Dante Moore on a play-action pass on third and short, leading to a self-owned sack,
yeah,
and having to kick a field goal, yep, where Roger Saliapaga would have been wide open. He beat the guy across his face. There was nobody over the top. And even at the bare minimum, if that pass is incomplete, it's fourth and one, and you're probably going for it there. I just based on the brand of football that Dan Lanning likes to play. You score a touchdown on that drive again, totally different feeling. And then the drive that preceded the 92-yard touchdown drive from Iowa to ultimately give them a lead with a minute 51 to go, Dante Moore threw an absolute seed on third and whatever it was, third and long, rolling out, and it hit Jeremiah McClellan in the chest.
He was pissed, too. You could hear him yelling livid on the sideline.
It just hit, and it's raining.
Didn't know if he caught it or not.
Because the broadcasters are senile and stupid, and I know everybody. I'm glad that everybody at least now is on my page on this. That's one of the worst broadcast crews that exists. Gary Danielson needs to be put out to pasture. He is terrible. Are we going to do another 5-minute highlight breakdown of a guy who tackled a running back without the football when Dante Moore fumbled the exchange? Are we going to do that? What a great play by the defensive line. lineman who tackled a guy without the football? Really? What are we doing?
You know that linebacker's a good player.
He's a great player. He tackled a guy without the football. Dante Moore fumbled it on the other side of the field. Maybe we should talk about how he almost fumbled it. It was almost a no. Okay, got it. But that, I mean, you were two plays away. Like, if you convert that first down, you're then into field goal range, and then you could go up by eight, right? It's just a different feeling to the end of the game. You take a little bit more time off the clock. They were so close to finding a way to separate, they just couldn't do it. And it was eerily similar to the Penn State game of like, wait a minute, we've been up, we've been leading, we've been the better team for 90% of it. Now we're down with 2 minutes to go, and you got to find a way to win. Nice stones there at the end from Dante Moore.
We'll talk with Landon Tangwall at 8:15 today for the Daily Ticker. We'll get his thoughts on Oregon's win at Iowa and some other college football takeaways, which I want to get to because I think you look at Oregon now and they get that win on the road. Some of your other takeaways, aside from what you just said, and then how it's all kind of stacking up right now, after kind of a weird, we talked about bad football earlier. How about Bama LSU? Talk about bad football.
Yeah, that was ugly offense right there.
That was an old school Les Miles, Nick Saban 20-9 game.
Nussmeier got benched.
Yeah, probably should have weeks ago. Mm. We can talk about the kind of the landscape of things and what that Oregon win kind of means in that regard. So we can get to that coming up next. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream the local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Starting just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Oof, tough weekend for my Beavs down in Corvallis. Now the Beaver fan base is yelling at each other for not showing up to the game, which is like,
Now we have infighting in the fan base.
Oh, it's never good.
There's a clip of TJ Houshmandzadeh that went viral this weekend, too, of him. I don't know where he was talking or what podcast he was on, but they were joking about Oregon State and what conference they're in, and he said, essentially, I called and offered to help, and they didn't call me back.
Well, nobody's going to remember TJ Houshmandzadeh.
No, how could you? It's not like that team or he did anything in his time in Corvallis.
We got to think about Brent Blaylock, of course.
You got to have the name on the front of the jersey is what people know, not the name on the back of the jersey.
I don't know if I got butt crack sports, but somebody else found out that Scott Barnes' email to contact him is no longer his personal email from the school. It's a different gal's email at the .edu.
Yeah.
Which tells you all you need to know about the emails he's receiving.
Send it to my intern. I don't want to read any of this nonsense.
But I'm sure it's all going well and there's just, it's all overblown. It's all going really well down in Corvallis.
Yes, things are going great.
Rob Akey could not stop talking. Every answer was 7 minutes long and it was basically like, it's still good. We're still good.
This is life. You got to learn in life. This is going to be struggles in life.
So we can get to that today. I've got audio of a really upset podcaster.
Ooh.
We've got a college football fan base that celebrated, but they lost, but they didn't think they lost.
Oh.
Including the hoisting of a player.
Oh.
Even though he cost them the game.
Oh. That's a double burn right there.
Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz join Chauncey Billups.
Yeah. Heading to prison, baby.
And Damon Jones pleads not guilty. So more gambling conversation we can get to at some point today.
Yes, there is.
And then, man, I kept hearing for years to keep politics out of sports, and then I watched the Commanders-Lions game, and I went, is this a presidential commercial?
Well, rules for thee, not for me.
Man.
Inserted itself into sports.
I would say. Yeah, could not avoid it.
No, you could not. Although you could turn all that off, because most of those games in the afternoon were bloodbaths, and I think that led me to just be like, you know what, I'm done for the afternoon.
Did you see the report that he wants a stadium named after him?
I did. We're sticking to sport. That's not, no, not if it got it.
Did Obama do that?
No.
No.
No, he did not. No.
Interesting. Let's continue on. So the landscape of college football, bit of an ugly weekend here.
It was.
You had Bama beat LSU, but that wasn't like the prettiest of games.
No.
You know, I told you this during the commercial break because Ohio State-Purdue was on the TV. They handled Purdue.
They did.
I'm not trying to disrespect Ohio State in any way. Like, they're undefeated. Are they the juggernaut who's going to run through it, or are they going to trip up at the worst possible time of their season? I know the Michigan thing is looming, but this team...
They'll be in the playoff either way,
yeah,
but
in.
I think to your point of...
That's a lock.
How legit are they, and are they that much better than everybody else? Like, are they a runaway freight train to an international title? I think the difficult part for them, that it's ironic we're not using it to criticize them.
Sure.
Somehow Texas is getting propped up like a top 10 team, which for the love of God, can we just stop? I hope Georgia ends that in fashion. They did beat Vanderbilt.
They beat Vanderbilt.
Yes, they beat Vanderbilt. Imagine saying that 3 years ago. They beat Vanderbilt. That's their good win. But Ohio State didn't have to play the other two top teams in the conference. I think we've now seen there's a clear drop off after the top three teams in the Big Ten. It's Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, and then a drop off to your Michigans and your USCs and whoever else you want to throw into that batch. Maybe Wisconsin after this weekend. Couldn't avoid it. But they didn't have to play the second or third team in the Big Ten. And last year when that was Indiana, what did we say?
How long it would take you to get to a Husky mention.
Do you know who their leading passer was in that game? We'll get to it. It needs its full segment. We can't just do it right now.
Which quarterback was it? Because Wisconsin played like 10 of them.
Fun fact, it wasn't their quarterback. Their quarterback was not their leading passer in the game. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of college football, but I can't wait to talk about it. Anyways, I digress. They didn't play Indiana or Oregon this year, and so that's a tough part with Ohio State. We all know the talent that they have, but I don't think they've been that tested in the regular season schedule.
USC Friday had to result in making Sam Heward wear the old punter's number.
Evidently not illegal.
I think some people were pointing that it is, but they found like a loophole.
There was a back and forth. So my reading on it was that if you use a number on a certain, like if you put him in and punt on that number, it then only becomes a penalty if somebody else of that number is in the same formation on the same grouping or something like
that. So if you missed it, the Friday night game was Northwestern USC. It was kind of a dogfight in the first half. Like they weren't burying Northwestern.
They should have thrown a pick six and instead was fumbled into the end zone. They should have been down 21-14, but the Mayava, to his credit, after throwing the pick, punched it out and ended up being a touchback.
And USC ended up running away with it eventually, but in this game, they required Sam Heward to wear the punter's old number, and they thought it was the punter, including the broadcast. They thought this was the punter, and like, he threw a dime! Robert Griffin III is like, what a dime! It was Sam Heward disguised as the punter to pick up a trick play, fourth down play.
Benetti had a great line after that, too, because Brock Heward used to be his play-by-play partner. He's like, Brock, it's going to kill me for this.
I know.
How do I not give him credit?
Well, hard to do.
I didn't know where Sam Heward was. That was a fun fact for me this weekend.
I didn't either.
Well, Sam Heward, there he is.
Indiana needed the greatest of toe-tapping catches I've ever seen in my life to beat Penn State in the final seconds of the game. A&M handled Missouri. I think your point on just the landscape, Texas Tech looks like, I don't care what conference they're in, that's not a team I think you want to play. It's going to be a tough matchup no matter who you are.
They were dominant against BYU this weekend.
Oregon's win. Look, I'm not going to try to act like this is some separation and Oregon's now just as likely to win the title as anybody. But after Ohio State, I think it's very fair to say who the hell knows at this point in college football. I don't want to discredit teams for barely winning. You got the portal, you got talent all over the sport. There's more parity now than there has been in quite some time. And all we know is they're in the mix.
Yeah.
Much like the snow, rain weather we had all week in the Midwest, Oregon's in the mix. And they did so as much with their win at Iowa.
Yeah, it seems wide open. And maybe it doesn't end up being that way and Ohio State steamrolls everybody and wins back-to-back national titles. But there was at least a small benefit in the back of my mind that's just thinking, you know, I don't know if they've really been tested by an elite defense this year. Penn State pushed them a little bit a week ago in the shoe. That was, what, a 17-14 game at the half, and then they kind of pulled away. Is the Penn State win now count for a little bit more, or are we still not counting that win at all for Oregon? They damn near beat Indiana this past weekend. There's still talent on that roster, and now they're playing with a backup quarterback.
But
that was a funny takeaway
from
the weekend.
Ohio State has these weird either starts or finishes. 3-0 Purdue at the end of the first, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah, it was low scoring, and then it's 34-3 late in the third quarter, and then Purdue scores a garbage time touchdown and puts a little lipstick on the pig. Yeah. I think everybody's got flaws and everybody's got vulnerabilities, Oregon included, and that's going to make for a really fun playoff this year because I do feel like the majority of the teams at the top are pretty evenly spread out, and a lot of it could be dictated by matchups, when you're playing, who gets home field, and all those kind of considerations.
One takeaway, too, from the Oregon having the running game they had, where the narrative for them all week was Iowa's not going to allow this, and they have 200 yards on the ground.
260, yeah.
Whittington's good. Davison's awesome. We know Lamar's not playing. I was really impressed with the way De'Aaron Hill ran.
Yeah, he's super patient.
Well, he's
really balanced.
I thought he was more physical this week than he has been all year. You've noted this, that like since the Penn State game, his carries have gone down a little bit because he's kind of become the obvious. He's running off the tackle because he's got speed. I thought Saturday they all had good games. I thought when he ran like he was Whittington. He ran angry. He broke tackles. He made plays. His touchdown, that's a physical touchdown. And him and Davison being as young as they are, getting all these reps, getting that experience. It's just when you have an ability to go in somebody's house, a good team, and they know we got to stop that run, and you still go for 200, I think that puts you in just as dangerous category as almost any team in the country because it talks about the physical nature of your team, the identity of the team. And so I wanted to note D'Air Hill because I was really impressed with how he ran the football against Iowa. You know how Davison, Whittington, Hill, three now what look like kind of physical, bruising backs who can break tackles and push the ball forward a couple yards even when they get contact. I mentioned going in, they were averaging 4 yards a carry after contact.
Yeah.
Iowa was a huge test in this regard, and they passed it with flying colors.
Dude, they were all amazing, and they all ran really well. They all rotated really well. I thought the way the staff used them was great. The 7.3 yards per carry as a team is the most allowed by Iowa since 2014. The 261 yards rushing that Oregon had is the most that they've given up in the last 4 years at Iowa. And so those are things that you don't usually see against the Iowa defense, and especially in a situation where everybody knows you're going to run the football because you're without weapons and it's going to rain. And so you're gearing up to stop the run, and you still did that to them. Incredibly impressive. All three of those guys ran hard. The last note I have on the game, I'm not usually this guy. I try and pride myself on not being this guy. Oregon got the win this weekend over Iowa. They also got the win this weekend over the officials. That was one of the worst officiated game I have ever seen. The defensive pass interference on Ife Obadegwu was literally such good pass coverage that you would show it as like a teach tape, and they gave him 15 yards. How was it not intentional grounding on third and goal when he threw the ball to nobody?
That was very
and it landed
confusing.
In the end zone, and there wasn't a single receiver anywhere close
that
was, to it.
Yeah,
because they had confusion. They have confusion on the jump, the pump pass that they were going to do. Nobody there. That should have been intentional grounding. They also didn't get the snap off in time on fourth and goal. They had a fourth and short quarterback sneak that led to their first touchdown drive that was his momentum was completely stopped.
Yeah, but
he fumbled the snap. The ball was behind him. He hadn't moved for 3 seconds, and then he's allowed to just kind of roll over after the play is over, and they give him the first down. They almost didn't even review the fumble. Dan Lanning had to call it. He was like jumping up and down on the sideline of like, that's a fumble. He had to call a timeout just to get the review in order to get the call overturned. The only penalty they called the entire game on Iowa, they called one. You know what it was? Illegal batting on the over the head snap of the punter. That was the only penalty called the entire game on Iowa. Oregon overcame one of the worst officiated games I have ever seen.
Lanning, I think, is going to send tape. He had to stop himself from saying more about the officiating because he
it's
asked.
Horrible. Dude.
I think it was Alger. He had asked Alger. How was that not intentional
anybody,
grounding?
You guys see somebody around there?
And he
you
goes,
see a receiver there?
And I had a fault. You know what? Actually, I'm not going to say it.
Like, I just...
Horrible. Bad weekend for Oregon State. I have a funny note on this game.
Oh, okay.
Sam Houston, winless Sam Houston, no longer being winless and winning on senior night in Reser. The saddest of moments for Oregon State. Where is it rank of the worst losses in the last 25 years for Oregon State? We can get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Well, we'll talk with Landon Tangwall coming up at 8:15 for the Daily Ticker. Angry podcaster of a sports team. A great rant. One of the best. We got gambling updates. Some NFL stuff we haven't even gotten to yet. Fan base celebrating a loss in college football. But Oregon State suffered another loss this weekend. 20-point favorites. Glad we all took the Beavs to cover that number. They were up 17-0 in this game against winless Sam Houston. And they not only blew that lead, they blew the game. They lost outright at home, last home game of the season.
Yeah.
And now they have fallen to 2-8. Who knows if there's another win on that schedule? I don't know where you'd point to it after that performance.
Yeah, nothing's a given. Nothing's
And I'll tell you this. I have concrete information to tell you. Okay? Saucing.
Sauces. What are the sauces saying?
I'm going to tell you, how bad is that loss? Well, I think it's the second worst loss in 25 years Oregon State's had.
Okay, I'm curious which one takes the cake. Is it an easy answer?
It's an easy answer.
Easy answer.
Sam Houston was so depleted roster-wise, they had to bring players and suit up guys who they didn't want to play because of how few players they had coming into this one.
That's not good.
And I'll also tell you, not only did they have to suit up and bring players they didn't want to suit up and bring, they internally did that thinking, we're just not going to have enough healthy bodies to even finish the football game, let alone win the game outright.
Yeah, I also saw the numbers floating around this week of how much you guys paid Sam Houston State to come to town.
That's awesome.
That's what makes these even more painful. It's like not only do you lose in such embarrassing fashion in front of like 27 people.
Was it like a Blueprint Sports number? Or
more. It was about $1.9 million, I think.
So a Brent Blaylock payout.
Yes, okay, a Brent Blaylock payout number of just shy of $2 million you paid to Sam Houston State to lose to them this weekend.
It's the second worst loss in 25 years.
Sac State number one.
Yeah, Sac State will always be number one.
I will defend Eastern Washington because they had Cooper Kupp and Vernon Adams. Like that 100%. Loss sucks. Still doesn't change the fact you can't lose that game. But those two guys were studs.
When one of those guys goes on to have a borderline Hall of Fame NFL career, and the other is wanted by Oregon to be their starting quarterback, it still hurt in the moment. I will forgive it because you knew watching it. That's a different level team than you'd normally see. Sac State that year was a middling.
Let me go look at the record. It was 2011. They lost the game 29-28.
I looked it up once. They were like the middle of their conference by the end of the season.
So
they
wasn't even like a good year.
No, it wasn't even
the middle
good.
Of the Big Sky.
Of the Big Sky.
That's right. I think they were fifth or sixth that year in the Big Sky.
Yes. No, 2011. I'm trying to find. That was the only other one because I saw some Beaver fans saying worst loss of all time.
Because that was also a season many
they were
in
4-7 in the Big Sky.
Yeah, I think they were sixth in their conference in total.
Now, can I contend with you?
Yeah.
Sam Houston State was winless.
What was Oregon State's record?
In 2011, I don't remember.
No. Oregon State.
They were a two-win team. They were a two-win team.
That's the difference. Okay. And that's the only difference. Now, that Beav team, I think, went on to win three games.
So they're 3-9.
And that was also
in a Power 4-5 conference, though.
Ryan Katz came back as a starter, and people thought, oh, my God, we're going to ascend.
This could be the year.
And then he got subbed out.
I'll never forget around the day of that game because I was doing something, listening to it on the radio.
I was covering the game. I was
listening to Mike Parker call the game of like, this is happening right now.
When Mannion started the second half, everybody was like, what?
What is happening?
And I think they went to Wisconsin the following week and got lost 35-0, and it was over after that. But
yeah,
yeah, that And you can make the case Sam Houston's the worst.
I think we got a, it's a 51-49 for me. You wouldn't tell me Sac State, that's fine. Sam Houston State, like, let's go back and repeat what we were saying about this. Sam Houston State might be the worst team in all of football this
year. No, they were going into
the
game.
They were the
worst team in all
football. So, like,
worse than UMass?
Yes. I think by a lot of metrics, they were.
What's the SP Plus say?
That's a great question.
Well, now it might change. I want to know what it said a week ago today. What did it say a week ago today is the answer we need on that one. What's the what were the metrics in the old?
Because
he ranks every single team in all of college football. So that ranking will exist near the bottom of the SP Plus.
So go okay, let's do this.
is UMass winless this year?
So UMass okay, so here it is. UMass right now. So this is an updated one. UMass is now the worst. Sam Houston is second worst.
Second worst.
So I'm going to guess they were worst going into that game. The worst SP Plus team in college football.
So Sacramento State, again, was bad, but they weren't even the worst team in the Big Sky that year. They finished ahead of Idaho State and Northern Colorado that year.
Yeah, but that's an FCS team.
I know. I know. Sam Houston State was an FCS team about 18 months ago.
You're not wrong there. By the way, I'm looking at the SP Plus, the updated SP Plus, and I know it's just like some metrics that's comprised to like Oregon State's 112. How are there this many teams below them?
It's pretty remarkable that there's that many teams behind them. They were though on a two-game heater coming into this, and they are back-to-back Pac-2 champions. That's every time you feel like they find a new low, and then there's a little bit of positivity of like, look at that, Rob Akey sounds like Corvallis at Orgeron in a post-game interview on Coin talking about their win over Washington State, and they're going to get three in a row. They find a way to kick you in the nuts again, and you paid a lot of money to lose that game.
I'm sure it's going to go really well with Scott Barnes in charge.
Yeah, things are going to be great. We should definitely keep Scott Barnes in charge and let him make the call. He's the guy who needs to lead us through all of this turmoil.
He's got a committee and a search firm. They'll be fine.
Yeah. Two guys he's going to fall. He's going to blame them if the hire goes awry. Well, it wasn't me. It was the search firm. It was the committee.
I don't like to tell people how to fan, but those that went shaming the people that didn't, like, get a life. Why would you go to that game?
Tend to agree with you there. I'm not criticizing anybody for not paying money
to
go to
that. Not criticizing either, but stop criticizing the people that didn't want to go to the game. Like, yes, this is how you speak to the university.
It's a 7 o'clock kick against Sam Houston State, literally the worst team at the time in all of college football. If you're not giving away tickets for free, nobody should be going to those games. Give away tickets for free.
Loaded third hour of the program. Landon Tangwall will join us at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague, Hour 3, 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.